Anybody excited to hear God's word this morning? Yeah. It's powerful. Changes our life. I'd ask, I know some of you are still giving in the offering, but ask if you can do two things at once, to turn to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 19. Okay, has anybody wondered why there's a ladder up here? Anybody thought, what did they do all week? I mean, come on, they fixed the light and didn't even move the ladder. Yeah, I know you did. Come on. Let's be honest. I'm kind of wondering why it's there too. No, I'm joking. Matthew chapter 19. Let's stand, and we're going to start in verse number 16. Matthew 19, verse 16 says this. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that in your word we find life, we find truth, we find freedom, and we find you. This morning, may what we walk away with be you and nothing else. Jesus, I thank you that your presence is here, that you breathe to us your word. In your name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. When I was a freshman in high school, I went out for the cross-country team. I had no idea if I was fast or not. I just went out for the team. And I was very pleased when I found out that I made the varsity as a freshman. Now, I have to be honest and say there was no JV. We didn't have enough runners for that, but I was on the varsity, and I thought, that was pretty cool, you know? And then we went out for practice, and we began to get in shape, and I realized cross-country was crazy, crazy. I kind of liked it, but kind of didn't, especially when I was running. And we would run each day, and we're getting in better shape, better shape, better shape, And I realized after the first couple of meets that I was the third fastest on the varsity. And once again, I was kind of proud of myself. But then I had to be honest and say, you know what? There were two guys on our team that were seniors, and these guys were crazy good. Like, every tournament we went to, first and second place. Every tournament. Sectional, state, first and second. I mean, these guys were so good at running. And then there was the rest of the team over here. And so, I know you're thinking third fastest, it's not as good as it sounds. One guy was in a wheelchair. I'm joking, but two guys way out there and then the rest of us just wannabes. We're like, like that, trying to just see them. And the problem was, 3.1 miles, I mean, after the first 100 yards, we never saw them. I mean, these guys get done with the race, they go shower, take their girlfriend out for dinner, work a shift at McDonald's, come back, and we're like, we crossed the finish line. Boom! We were not fast at all. One practice, I decided, that's it. I'm going to keep up with these guys. You know, I can do it. One practice, if I give it all I have, I can keep up with them. And so these guys took off running, and these guys, they were talking. It looked like their legs were sprinting. And they were just having a conversation. For a little while, I was close enough to hear what they were saying. And this is crazy. Freshman in high school, I still remember what they were talking about. Crazy. Because it was just so significant. I see these guys. I know what they look like now. And so as we're running, I'm trying to keep up. I mean, I was just taking everything that I have. And after a few steps, no, I'm joking, it was longer than that. But after a little while, they faded off into the distance. And I faded back into the wannabe crowd. As hard as I tried, I didn't have what it took. I mean, as much as I did, as much as I tried to muster the strength and athletic ability that wasn't there, I could not keep up with them. I was missing something. You know, this man in the story says, what do I lack? What do I lack? I mean, he's doing everything he knows to do. He obeyed the Ten Commandments. He went, I'm sure, to the temple. Everything that he knew to do, he was doing, but still there was something missing in Jesus. What do I still lack? You know, I think a lot of us can probably relate to that question. I would guess that's a question that many of us have asked in our lifetime. What do I still lack? Before coming to Christ, like, God, there's got to be more to this life than what I'm living right now. But even coming into faith in Jesus Christ and beginning to follow him, you ever had those times when you lack motivation to be in the Word? You ever had those times when prayer is not really on your priority list? Those times when maybe faith doesn't seem to be powerful in your life? Or the love for others, it just seems to be lacking. You ever lack power? You ever lack passion? You ever lack answers for what maybe he has for you? This man said, what do I still lack? I've done it all, Jesus. Come on, I go to church. Say the right words. Give money to help people. Did the Ten Commandments, Jesus. What do I still lack? What is missing? And unfortunately for this man on that day, the very thing, the very one that he was missing was standing right before him. Because the one standing before him, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was the only one that could give him fulfillment in life. The only one that could give him the eternal life that he was seeking. The only one that could give him freedom from sin. The only one that could transform him was standing before him. What do I lack? In reality, I think he lacked two things. Now, he lacked belief. You're like, well, how do you know he lacked belief? Look in the scripture here in verse 16. It says, now a man came up to Jesus and asked, teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? And I love the eagerness of this man. I love his tenacity. Who knows how many elderly women he elbowed to get to Jesus, you know, because everybody's crowding to Jesus. Who knows how many kids he like stepped on their heads, you know, just to get to Jesus. Everybody wanted to talk to Jesus during this time. So I love his eagerness. But as he goes up to Jesus, he says, teacher, what must... And you know what? In his first word, he gives it away. In his first word, he gives away what he was lacking. He called Jesus a teacher. He thought he was just another guy, another dude. He thought he was just someone that had some wise things to say and that was nice to people. He didn't believe that he was God. He was just another guy. Just another teacher, hoping that he would have something good to say. Maybe he would have a certain word that he could repeat, and boom, he's got eternal life. Maybe it was a special certificate, or maybe it was an 11th commandment. Man, this wise teacher tells me that, I'm going to do that, and I have eternal life. But see, salvation and right relationship with God never has come through obeying the Ten Commandments. It doesn't come through another external work. It only comes through what? Faith in Jesus Christ. What do I lack? The young man said. He goes up to Jesus. And as far as I'm concerned, as a human being, I'm like, man, that conversation is as good as done. You don't even believe. It doesn't matter what Jesus says next because you don't even believe he is who he says he is. The bottom line in this man's life was that he lacked belief. He didn't believe Jesus was God. But then Jesus does something that really surprises me. And as I read it, it just kind of threw me for a loop. Maybe not for you, but for me, it's just like, why did Jesus do this? And I love that about Jesus. Because he never does exactly what you think he's going to do. As you read the Gospels, someone asks him a question, you're like, oh yeah, he'll probably answer. No. He's got something over here that you're like, wow. Revelation. Jesus flowed in revelation. Everything that he did was revelation. And as I look at this scripture, I'm like, Jesus, why did you do this? Well, why did you do what? Well, Jesus responds to this man who doesn't believe in him with these words. He says, follow me. And as I read that, I'm like, okay, I need help here. Why would Jesus call a man who doesn't even believe in him to follow him? Why would Jesus say those words? Was it a trick? Absolutely not. Why would Jesus go up to a man who doesn't believe that there is a Son of God, who doesn't believe that Jesus is God, that is the Messiah? Why would Jesus say, hey, follow me? Follow me. You know, Mark chapter 10 says that Jesus loved this young man. So that's the foundation of this. Jesus loved this young man so much, this young man who didn't believe in him. Jesus loves people who don't even believe in him. And he said to this man, follow me. You know, Jesus was completely confident in who he was. How many of you remember your very first date? Anyone? Some of you are like, I'm hoping that'll happen soon. No, your very first date. Anybody? Like three of us? Come on. Anybody remember the first date? Okay, maybe you guys just had so many. You're just like, I don't know, first one, you know. I dated three people at the same time. I don't know. Your first date. How many of you on your first date, maybe you're 16 or 29 or whatever, on your first date, you were completely confident in who you were? You walked in and you're like, I got this. How many of you were just completely 100% secure in who you are? I mean, you're willing just on the first date to share weaknesses and struggles. I mean, it doesn't matter if you wear makeup or not. Hey, I'm confident in who I am. Guys, it doesn't matter what kind of shirt you wear. It's just the one you were painting in the day before. Like, well, who cares? Not too many of us were confident on that first date. Most of us probably put a mask on, right? A little facade. Tried to act like we were cool, and inside we were like, I'm not cool at all. Guys try to stick their chest out a little bit, act big, and we never even lifted weights. I mean, it's like, come on. Yeah, confident, act like you have money. Come on, let's go. Half price apps, Applebee's, whatever you want. You know what I'm saying? Like, put on a mask and just be like, I'm just going to try to show off a little bit here. I'm going to be, before I even asked Alicia out on our first date, I had already tried to show off multiple times just to get her to notice me. Trying to act like I was cool and I knew I wasn't, believe me. But Jesus is different. Jesus was completely confident in who he was. And so he could say to this man who didn't even believe in him, hey, follow me. Why don't you come spend some time with me? Well, why don't you come and hear me talk a little bit? Why don't you and I have some conversations? Why don't I kind of open up the scriptures for you? Why don't you hang out with me? Why don't you hang out with some other authentic followers of mine, like the real deal guys? Why don't you follow me? Jesus knew if this man who didn't believe in him would follow him and spend some time with him, he's probably going to believe. Start seeing some miracles. Start hearing some of the teachings. Start seeing Jesus read their mail. Start seeing Jesus walk on the water. Start seeing Jesus' compassion for people that was unlike this man had ever seen in his life. This man who didn't believe him, Jesus says, come follow me. Jesus knew something. The more you follow Jesus, the more you get to know Jesus, the more you spend time learning about who he is, getting your questions answered, the more you'll believe in Jesus. The more you obey Jesus, the more you believe in Jesus, the more you believe in Jesus, the more you obey Jesus. Jesus says, follow me. But the issue here was that this man had an obstacle to his belief, which affected his obedience, an obstacle to his obedience, which affected his belief. Jesus says, if you want to be perfect, this word means to be complete. If you want to be perfect and complete, because you're wanting eternal life, you're wanting to be fulfilled, you lack something, right? So if you want to be perfect and complete, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. Jesus looked at this young man, loved him, nailed it. He saw that was the obstacle. That was the obstacle. His possessions. He was a landowner, had many estates, many properties, was attached to it, was important to him. It's what he trusted in. And Jesus said, why don't you sell all that, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. Live the life with me. You see, poverty was not the goal here for Jesus. Submission and relationship with Jesus was. For this man, because of the obstacle, poverty was the means by which he would be able to believe. And it was the means by which he would be able to obey. And Jesus says, come, follow me. The more you believe in Jesus, the more you're going to obey. The more you obey, the more you will believe. In a moment, we're going to talk about obstacles. First, I want us to get something deep into our heart, something very, very simple, but something that I believe is life-changing. And that is this. Jesus is interested in your obedience because it affects your belief. And your belief is so very important because it affects your obedience. This last summer, we went on mission trips. I said we went to El Salvador and to Atlanta. And I love being with students and seeing all that God does in a week and a half. It's crazy amazing. For a lot of these students, their faith might not be up here. Sometimes my faith's not up here. But they're like, you know what? I believe I want to make a difference, and so I'm gonna go on this missions trip. And so they believe, yeah, if I go, I can make a difference. That's what Pastor Keith says, and that's what my life group leaders say, my parents say. If I go, I can make a difference, and I want to do that. I want to change the world. This generation wants to make a change and wants to make an impact in this world. So they believe that that's a reality, and so what do? They obey. They take action. They take action. They take an opportunity to follow the Great Commission, go and make disciples. But what happens on these missions trips is something very, very powerful, and that is their faith gets increased. When you step out in faith, you step out in obedience, you see God move, and your faith is increased. When these students went to Atlanta, many of them, hey, I still want to make a difference, but God had other plans besides that or in addition to that. We saw young people healed. We saw God meet them right where they're at, speak into their life. Young people that needed direction for their life, and God gave it. And as students begin to experience the compassion of God, the heart of God, they begin to experience the power of God, the influence of God, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, if they begin to experience physical healing in their life or in their friend's life, as they begin to experience people speaking things into them that they, like, whoa, nobody knew that, but it was God speaking through someone else. As they began to experience that, suddenly the more they obeyed by going on this missions trip, the more they believed. You see, when these students return, the leaders return from something like that, their faith is not at ground zero. Their faith is up here. So suddenly some of them come back and they want to change their priorities. Like, wow, this is all about Jesus. Wow, there is a lost world that I need to make a difference in. The more you believe, the more you obey. The more you obey, the more you believe. You know, many times we want to separate those two. Have you ever been there? Well, I believe this. I believe I am saved and forgiven, but I'm walking in condemnation all the time. Man, I believe that God is my peace and he's my refuge. We even sing songs about it, but I'm worried out of my mind. You see, belief and obedience are connected closer than root beer and ice cream, okay? More than chocolate and milk. I mean, come on. Belief and obedience are connected together. We want to separate them because it's easy to say I believe something. But see, faith only becomes faith through obedience. Say that again. Faith only becomes faith through obedience. That's why James said in chapter 2 of his letter, hey, faith without works is dead. It's nullified. It's not even there. He said, some of you might say, well, I'll show you my faith without my actions, without my deeds, without my obedience. And James is like, oh, whatever. I'm going to show you my faith by my deeds. Faith becomes faith through obedience. Jesus said, right? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. Check out this quote from a man named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. This was a man who lived this out, wrestled with this, lived this out, and then was martyred by the Nazis because he spoke out against the evil of the Nazi regime, and he spoke out against the silence of the church in Germany as the Nazis were ravaging that country and exterminating people. This is what Dietrich says. For faith is only real when there's obedience, never without it. And faith only becomes faith in the act of obedience. The more you believe, the more you obey. The more you obey, the more you believe. Faith elevates your obedience. And obedience elevates your faith. Let me give you an example. If I believe that Jesus Christ has forgiven me, Colossians 1, that I'm holy and blameless in his sight. If I believe that, then I will obey by not walking in condemnation. Romans 8. You get that? If I believe, I truly believe that I'm holy and blameless in God's sight, that he's forgiven me of my sins and I'm in right relationship with him through my faith in him, then I will obey by not walking in condemnation. If I obey by not walking in condemnation, I begin to experience the freedom that is in Christ. I begin to experience the freedom from bondages and addictions, fears, from sin. The more I believe, the more I obey. Let's say I believe that God is truly peace that transcends all understanding. I truly believe that. I have faith that that is true. That's what the Word of God says. I believe it. I will obey by not worrying. Worrying is disobedience. But if I believe that he's my peace, I mean, I truly am convinced of that, and I believe it, the Word of God says, then I will obey by not worrying. If I obey by not worrying, I begin to experience the faithfulness of God. I begin to experience how God, whoa, he was enough. He did help me. The more I believe that God is enough and that he is there to help me, there's a microphone there. The more I obey by not worrying when that bigger obstacle comes my way. Faith elevates your action or your obedience. Obedience elevates your faith, just like that. Let's say I believe Ephesians 2. Anybody believe Ephesians 2? All right? Let's say I believe Ephesians 2:10 that says that I am God's masterpiece. I am his workmanship. How many of you believe you are God's masterpiece? You are God's workmanship? He did a great job. Come on. He did a great job. Awesome. When you look in the mirror tomorrow morning, then you can't be like, what in the world? You just said you believe. Remember, faith only comes faith through obedience. The more I believe that I am God's masterpiece, and I'm not just talking about the physical, although God created the physical, I'm talking about him and his ways and his desires and his plans for my life. I'm God's masterpiece. I'm his workmanship. The more I believe that, the more I walk in his confidence. The more I walk in his confidence, the less insecurities I deal with, right? The less insecurities I deal with, the more I obey in loving my neighbor as myself, because I'm not focused on me, I'm focused on him. The more you believe, the more you obey, the more you obey, the more you believe. Let me share one more, well, maybe more, but okay. The more you believe, Romans chapter 6, that Christ has set you free from sin. Yeah, I'm a believer in Jesus. I've placed my faith in him. He has saved me, reconciled me to God. I believe that I've been set free from sin, Romans chapter 6. The more I believe that, the more I will obey by not letting sin master me. The more I believe I'm set free from sin, the more I obey by not letting sin control me. The more I don't let sin control me, the more I believe in the grace of Jesus Christ and the empowerment that comes from him. It's not because of me, because I know me. It's all him. The more you believe, the more you obey. The more you obey, the more you believe. Faith elevates your obedience. Let's get practical here. How do you increase your belief? How do you elevate your faith? How do you elevate your obedience? How do you get off of the ground floor so that you are experiencing new heights in God, so that God is using you in greater ways? How do you elevate that? I'll give you two quick ones here. First one is this: get rid of the obstacle. Get rid of the obstacle. This young man had an obstacle in his life. Jesus saw it. Boom. It's your possessions. You love it too much. It's too important to you. You're attached to it too much. That's what you trust in. Jesus nailed it. Said, hey, why don't you go get rid of that obstacle? Get rid of the obstacle. Get rid of the obstacle. Because Jesus knew something. If you get rid of the obstacle, faith becomes possible. And that is just the truth. If you get rid of that obstacle, faith becomes possible. And so what is an obstacle in your life? What is an obstacle to your faith? What is an obstacle to your obedience? And I want us to stop right now. The message isn't over. But I want us to stop right now. Can we bow our heads and give the Holy Spirit an opportunity to speak to us? About what is an obstacle in my life? An obstacle to my faith, an obstacle to my obedience. I trust the Holy Spirit that he can speak to us as we listen if there's an obstacle to our faith or our obedience. In my life, I have experienced that that obstacle is, you know, if I could narrow it down to three things, it's either a choice, it's a choice that I'm making. Remember several years ago, there was a sin choice that I was making. I wasn't addicted to it, I wasn't bound by it, but I just kept choosing it because I wanted to. The obstacle to belief and the obstacle to obedience, many times it's a choice or it's an attachment. Something has become too important. Something has become a priority over Jesus and his ways. Or thirdly, the obstacle is just unbelief. The obstacle is just unbelief. Not believing he's the creator. Not believing that he exists. Not believing that he does what he says he's going to do. Not believing that he will fulfill his promise that he spoke to you 5 years ago. Not believing him. What is the obstacle? Remove the obstacle. Faith becomes possible. The second thing I want to give you this morning in elevating your faith and elevating your obedience is to embrace the spiritual disciplines. You know, Pastor Joel has been speaking on that the last 3 weeks about prayer, about reading the word, and about fasting. And I'll tell you this, prayer, reading the Bible, and fasting are not requirements, okay? Those three things will not and cannot determine your position in Christ. But I'm convinced that they determine your closeness with Christ. What we've been talking about this morning, the more that you believe, the more that you obey, the more that you obey, the more that you believe, fits with almost everything spiritually speaking. Think about prayer. The more I truly believe, James 5, that prayer is powerful and effective, the more I'm going to set aside time to pray. I mean, if I really believe that prayer is powerful and effective, I'm going to obey by setting time aside so that I can spend time with the Father. The more that I spend time praying, the more that I believe because I begin to see answers to prayer, because I begin to see God's peace come in my life in a new way, because I begin to see that he is present and he's faithful and that he is always there. The more that I see that, the more I just want to pray. The more I pray, hey, closer I am to Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Prayer elevates prayer. The more you believe, the more you obey. Okay, that's getting high. Let's talk about reading the word. Pastor Joel said, and it's inspired. The word of God says it is breathed by God, right? If you truly believe that man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God, meaning that the word of God is what sustains me, the word of God is how I live life, the word of God is how I know how to live life, then if I really believe that, then I'm going to open up the Bible, right? And I'm going to set aside consecrated time to spend time in the word. Well, the more that I spend time in the word, the more that I know God, as Proverbs says, the more I will understand God and his ways. The more I get to know God, I don't know about you, I want to know more because there's so much I don't know. And the more that I spend time in the Word getting to know God even more, the more that I begin affecting my family, the more that I begin being a husband to my wife, the husband that she needs, a godly husband. The more that you believe, the more that you obey. Think about fasting. For some, that's a topic that you don't like to think about and talk about even now. I could say the word food and you're going to start getting hungry. Food. Did you get hungry? All right. Fasting is not something that some people are excited about, but check this out. If we truly believe that fasting is the example that Jesus set, If we truly believe that, give up some meals. Let's fast and pray. Let's call out to Jesus. The more that our church fasts together and prays, the more we're going to see some life change. The more this community is going to be affected. The more that we begin to see miracles and we begin to see God moving, and we begin to see that God is more interested in this city than we are, who's going to stop fasting and praying? You see what I'm saying? The more you believe, the more you obey. The more you obey, the more you believe. This young man heard Jesus say, "Follow me. Give up the obstacle and follow me." In a very real but sad verse is verse 22. It says, "When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth." His decision was made. He wasn't getting rid of the obstacle. His decision was made. There was no more conversation. He didn't ask Jesus any follow-up questions. He went away sad. He had already made the decision. "Jesus, you're just a guy. I don't believe that you are God. I'm sure not going to obey you." And he walked away sad. No belief in his life, therefore no obedience. No obedience to the call of Jesus, therefore no belief, no faith. This young man never left the ground floor. He didn't. He went away sad. I tell you what, when we walk away, I'm not just talking about from this building, I'm talking about in life. When we walk away from belief in Jesus, we walk away sad. And when we walk away from obeying Jesus, we walk away sad. Contrast that with Romans 15. I was just praying this morning, this verse came to mind, Romans 15, 13. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." You see the difference there? This man didn't believe in Jesus, was going to obey him. He walked away sad. When we walk in belief and our belief is increasing, which then affects our obedience, when we're elevating our faith and elevating our obedience through the grace of Jesus Christ, we do not walk away sad. I'm not just talking about an emotion thing. I'm talking about life. We are filled with joy and with peace. It goes on to say in that scripture that we overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who? Those who believe. Those who trust. And those who trust, obey. I'd like to ask all of you to close your eyes if you would. Probably all different places in our lives, different things that we're dealing with, and maybe even different levels of faith in this place. I want to talk for a moment to those of you here that you're not for sure if you're right with Jesus. You're not for sure if you're in right relationship with God, or maybe you're one of others that are here possibly that knows you're not right with God. This morning you have opportunity, not just to pray a prayer, you have opportunity to place your faith and belief in Jesus, Son of God, King of the universe, and the Savior of the world. As your heads are bowed, I want you to consider that when you believe, it's going to affect your obedience. What do I mean? Romans, it says, if you believe in your heart, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and then confess with your mouth. See, it's through your belief in who Jesus is that you can open your mouth out of obedience and confess, "Jesus is my Lord." This morning, we want to give you opportunity to believe, opportunity to take action with that belief. If you're here this morning and you're not sure if you're right with God, or you know you're not right with God, but you want to be, and you are ready to place your faith, being completely convinced that he is who he says he is, that he is God, and he wants to bring you into relationship with the Heavenly Father, forgiving you of your sins. Let's ask that you lift up a hand so we can pray with you. Just lift up a hand. That's me. Would you pray with me this morning? Okay, is there anyone else? We lift up a hand. could put that hand down, and I'll tell you what. Jesus left the 99 and went after the one. Really? Is there anything else we're about here? People coming to Jesus. People coming to Jesus. For the one who lifted their hand and others as well that might have lifted their hand, we want to pray with you. We want to see you come into faith with Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask this, that you would stand right where you're at. If you raised your hand or you wanted to, would you just stand up right where you're at? And now would everyone else stand to join with those who want to stand? I'm going to pray a prayer. There's nothing magical about these words, but they're transformational if you believe them. I'd like to ask everyone if you would join me and just repeat after me, if you believe these words. Lord Jesus, I trust you. In the past, I did not. But now I do. I believe that you are the King who came to this earth to die, to rise again, to make it possible for me to know you. And now I submit to you. You are my King. And I love you. Amen. The more you believe, the more you obey. The more you obey, the more you believe. As we walk out of this place, my prayer is that your faith will elevate. That you will believe what the Word of God says. Because if you truly believe what the Word of God says, obedience is right there. It's not a separate entity. It's together. The more you obey, the more you're going to see God move. The more you're going to see Him work in your life. The more you're going to see people around you changed because of your obedience. The more you're going to believe. I'd like to ask the pastoral staff and the elders to come stand here at front. And if there are any of you that would like to come up before you leave and say, you know what, pray with me about this. This is what I'm going through. This is an obstacle that I'm dealing with right now. This is an obstacle to my belief. This is an obstacle to my obedience. And would you pray with me? Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, that your word captivates us. Lord, it's not man's words. It's your words. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for showing us, Lord, that our faith becomes faith through obedience. So we place our faith and trust in you. And I pray that this week, faith will increase in our lives. And that this week, obedience will increase in us. God, for all of us, Lord, who have obstacles to our belief and obstacles to our obedience, we pray for your grace. We pray for your ability, your supernatural strength to come into us to help us, Lord, to help us, God, to get rid of that obstacle, to see you move in our life. Elevate us, God, to greater heights for faith and our obedience. In your name we pray. Have a great week trusting God and obeying God. Any of you would like prayer, come forward. We would love the opportunity to pray with you.